It is a joy to be here on this fifth Sunday. And as we have typically done, we've had this fifth Sunday would have more worship music, which we're limited in how we do that. But the format for the service will be a little bit different. There will be a little more reading. And I do appreciate those of you that responded to share something as it fits to today's message. It is a blessing. Are you a disciple of Jesus is the question. Let's begin with prayer. Most loving and kind and righteous God, Father, Son, and Spirit, what a blessing we live our lives in. It's full of challenges, but God, you are right here with us, and we thank you. We ask that you would be with the technology, that you would be with each individual connection, that this service would go through and that everyone will be able to benefit from what you, God, are telling us. This message is yours. And we do ask that you would speak into our very heart. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Are you a disciple of Jesus? And that may sound very simple, and you may say yes and have all kinds of reasons or not. But a disciple is someone that is a follower, a believer, an admirer, a devotee, student, supporter, or advocate. Are all of those in your world when you think of Jesus? That you're an advocate for Jesus? That you know him? I'm going to start today's message with two questions. True disciples of Jesus, what does that look like? And the second one is loving as Jesus loves, what does that look like? This is something that today we're going to discuss, what it looks like, how it fits in your life. I want to thank Nancy for the reading of Romans, and today we will continue that. And as we go through this, maybe you will be surprised at what is said. Maybe it'll be just reinforcing to what you believe. But here we go. We're going to start with John 13 and verse 34. This is Jesus. I give you a new command. Love one another, just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. You know, you think about that. Do you recognize how much Jesus loves you? And can you play that forward? Is that a part of your behavior? And then John 13:35, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus is breaking it down. This is where we're headed. How are we to love one another as Jesus loves us? We recognize how much he does love us, but how do we play that forward? How does that work? The message is from Romans chapter 12 and verses 9 through 21. And we're just going to kind of go through some of these, much like if we were in person on a fifth Sunday. Let love be genuine, not forced, not artificial, but real. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. As I go through this list, and I realize it's a little bit of just reading, but apply it to your life. Think about, does that fit me? Is that what is coming out of me? Is this reflecting of my love? Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. live in harmony with one another. You know, if the world, or at least certainly in our nation, if that one phrase, live in harmony with one another, we wouldn't see a daily newscast of another city imploding. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine," God says. "I will repay," said the Lord. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To be a disciple of Christ is not easy. It is a challenge. And it will always be a challenge in this life. The enemy will always throw that back in our face. It's easy to find ourselves doing the things we do not want to and not doing the things we want to do. I'm going to take a few minutes now and read the statements that were emailed to me from the question that I asked about relating to any of those that I read. And I realize some said I could use your name and some have opted out. I'm not going to use names, but you may figure out from the statement who is sharing this, but each one of these come from a member. The first one that I received, I must admit that I'm being influenced by what is happening with the Faust family right now. Being patient in suffering and persevere in prayer. Those two statements remind me of what I went through and what is happening to them now as I continually lift them up in prayer. I think that touched on three of those aspects that were there. The second one, worded as a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing me, the joy of life and enthusiasm for serving you and others. Do not allow my zeal to flag by taking on more than I can't handle, and the actions of others, real or perceived, or by appearing to be wiser than I am in some areas. None of these actions on my part bring me closer to you or my goal of serving you and others. Touched on a few others. This person intertwined a few of those. And just as I read these, think of yours. Another one, an example I have ties in under two. Extend hospitality to strangers and outdo one another in showing honor. Our neighbors to the east of us, when they moved in, Jeff went over with a bottle of champagne. He asked first if they drank. We offered it as a welcome to the neighborhood. Since then, we have done little things for each other. I have cat sit for their 21-year-old cat when they have gone on a little getaway. They have kept an eye on Jack and Bee when we have gone our way. When we went to the Azores in January, they came over once or twice. Returning, I gave them a little thank you gift. Then I watched Sammy, the 21-year-old cat. They gave us something bigger in thanks. It now just seems to be who can outdo the other one in a nice and friendly way. It is rewarding how God helps show love. And it builds. Another one. Be patient with those who suffer. I have lived through and or attended to the needs of several loved ones who went on to be with Christ. In each case, there came a time when I stopped asking God to heal them, but instead asked for the person to no longer hurt. I asked for rest and ease for the dying and for the families who were hurting so much, knowing that the pain and discomfort would continue, barring God's intervention, maybe for what could be a long time, and then death, didn't seem like the one who was trying to pass on. Didn't act like that's what they wanted, to linger. In most cases, I heard, "Father, I am ready to go to you," or "Let me go now, Father." If and when they were done here and wanted to go on, I prayed for them be able to do so. The next one, contribute to the needs of the saints. As one of the fatherless, I was touched many times by a member learning of a need in our family. Some of the most tender were including us in their family outings. One of my girls needed a dress for church, and I couldn't find anything in her size that we could get. Before a church event, a package came with an adorable dress with a matching purse. It made a big impression on my daughter and helped me to see how important it is to listen for the needs and be open to how God can use me to care for another's need. Be patient in suffering. I can think of numerous occasions when I felt like I was suffering and felt waiting for an answer as taking too long. Looking back, I learned so much in the waiting. I learned how I waited wasn't important as the issue, and God's way of seeing me through to the outcome was so much more loving. Being patient kept me from turning difficult situations tragic and hurtful. Another one. Joe thought of one that someone did for us. One person in our church sent us some money when he was out of work for almost 3 months with knee replacement and then open heart surgery with no income. Being out of work for an extended time because of the two back-to-back surgeries, first surgery for a bilateral knee replacement and 6 weeks later open heart surgery with a valve replacement, we received financial help just as it was needed. We could see God's provision from the body of Christ. And then I had little phrases that I remembered from different ones. Sacks of groceries showing up on your doorstep. Money coming at the perfect time, as was mentioned earlier. An encouraging letter, card, email, or phone call. Unexpected. Not reacting to someone who cuts you off in traffic, but instead you pray for them. Ask God to bless those who are trying to take you down, that their goal is to put you out. Turn that and pray for them. Can you rejoice with those who rejoice? Weep with those who weep. Support and reach out. And we can all think of a family right now that is hurting and weeping. And we love them very much. But they're not the only ones. If you lived in Louisiana, you could be in a devastating state right now with really no hope, with really no outlook of what next. Rejoice in the wonderful things that happen, but come right along and weep with those and support them. Discipleship is a long process of growing in grace and knowledge. And it's never intended to always be convenient, simple, and comfortable. Boy, would that be nice if we could view everything and that it was convenient and simple and comfortable. But it's not. Discipleship is loving others more today than we did last week. Asking God to help us see others as He sees them, as His beloved. asking God to love with his love, asking God to make things plain for us. I'm going to go back through and kind of summarize these. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus and attempts to love as he loves. And that's all we can do, is attempt to love as he loved. But the attempt is what we need to do every single day. From Romans 12, verses 9 and 10, a disciple is loving, kind, and authentic. They're real. Honoring others whenever possible. Verses 11 through 13, a disciple is passionate, hopeful, and willing to help and serve others. And when difficulties come, bears them gracefully through lots of prayer. A disciple is empathetic, realizing how interconnected we all are as God's children. Verses 4 through 16. Picking it up, 17 through 20, a disciple is peaceful, both within and without, and promotes peace even when wronged. Verse 21, a disciple is an encouragement to be good and do good, and believes that being right is much less of a priority. I think of many of our members who have passed from this life, and the things that they quietly did in serving others, in giving others, in providing needs without any recognition by choice. But they were there, and they did. They loved, and they served, and they provided. Maybe they're the ones that sent the money. Maybe they're the ones that dropped the groceries. Maybe they were the ones that came along inside. Maybe they're the ones that sent you a note. A disciple is someone who loves as Jesus loves. That is a mouthful. Jesus loves in ways that we can only attempt. But because of his love within our life, he uses us to change other people, to let them know that they are loved. A disciple is known by Jesus for his love of others. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Thank you for joining us today. We can be reached throughout the week at our webpage, gcderby.org, or our Facebook page, Grace Communion Derby. And we're praying that you will have a very blessed week.